A welcome to Grace Fellowship Building. But now that you're here, it's the Grace Fellowship Church, because you are the church. And I say good morning to you, and may the Lord bless you. Our sermon today, how to deal with relapse, how to prevent relapse. And I know that at the first sound of the word relapse, most of you are going to withdraw a little bit and think that that word does not apply to your life. After all, you're not an alcoholic. You've never abused drugs. You've never gone to internet sites. You've never been to a 12-step program, nor have you ever been through a rehab center. But I want you to know that one of the biggest things that we have to deal with in life is honesty. Mark Twain said, "No one really becomes honest until they're dead." For a long time. And then he follows up by saying, "I think we should be born dead." You see, because honesty is what leads us to recovery. Focal passage of scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Watch and pray. Now, these words are from Jesus to his disciples. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I'd like to address one word from that passage. Watch. You know, there are so many verses and so many words in the Bible that we just seemingly skip over as we read, because we say we know what that means. As I listened to Robert Motley give his testimony, I can tell you that other than the obvious differences, there's one main difference in his life than mine. Everything else parallel, with the exception, I never had an Avon route. But when he began to speak of his military experiences, of course, I could engage with that. Watch. One of my favorite things to do when I was in the Army would be on DZ control or drop zone control. And there, there I would be with the drop zone officer, and we would have air-to-ground communications or ground-to-air communications. And I always enjoyed doing this when the candidates at jump school was making their first jump. There was a lot of excitement, and I could always put myself back in that aircraft on my first jump. But our job on the drop zone was to watch for other aircraft that might have strayed into the area, or to watch the wind, because wind can be extremely dangerous on these early jumps. So while I'm just using that as an analogy, when Jesus says, watch and pray. watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh, he didn't say this, but I'm going to say this, the body, the flesh, is very weak. Relapse. Just all that means is that we're falling back, or you're falling back into some old unhealthy behavior acts. Routines. An old pattern of behavior that no one should be in. For the alcoholic, when he relapses, he goes back to the bar. For the person who is addicted to drugs, they go back to their dealer or listen very closely back to the prescription writer. For the gambler, back to the local convenience store or to a casino. For the overeater, back to the food source. For those people involved in pornography, it's back to the internet. You see, slipping back into these old habit patterns will always happen in a very predictable way. First of all, complacency. You just feel so secure in the progress that you've made. You get comfortable with that short-term gain. Well, I haven't had a drink now in 28 days. I can slow down. I don't have to fight as hard. Yeah, I still have the pain, but it's bearable. It's not so bad, I can deal with it. That's complacency. You stop going to meetings. You stop calling your sponsor. You don't work the program anymore. Those are terms that the people who are in AA, NA, SA, and GA are very familiar with. The second place is confusion. Aha, it wasn't that bad. Have you ever said that? It wasn't really that bad. I dealt with it very well. Complacency, confusion, and then the third thing is compromise. Right after you say, I can handle it myself, you go right back to those old patterns, right back to the source of temptation, right back to that place that got you into trouble for the first time. You go right back to the old friends, old places, and old people. When I first went to Penfield some 16, 17 years ago, I heard the counselors teaching about PPTs. Now, I thought that was a virus that nobody should get. PPTs, people, places, and things. See, when God has called us and God has given us the strength to separate ourselves from those places and those people and those things, I also thought this was a term that people like Bob Wilson and others in AA for 1,000 years had discovered or had just come up with it. But you know, when I was reading in Genesis about Abram, chapter 12, God said to Abram, get thee out of thy father's house and away from his people, away from everything that you know, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. Friends, that's the original PPTs, getting away from old people, old places, and old things. If you don't do that, there's a catastrophe right around the corner. I started out by saying honesty is the building block to recovery. You have to be honest to yourself, and you have to be honest to other people. So then why do we fall back in those old patterns, those old behaviors, those old lifestyles, when we know that it's out of God's will? And we know that it damages all the relationships that we have. Why do we fall back? Why do we know the right way and how good it was, but we fall back? That's because we revert, first of all, to willpower. Oh, I can do that. That's not really much. I've done that before. Paul said to the Galatians, how can you be so foolish? How you began by God's Spirit, why do you want to finish on your own power? A hard lesson in life. And sometimes life lessons are the hardest to learn, but they're the easiest ones to remember. Here's a life lesson for you. Willpower will never be won't power. Willpower will never be I will not power. You see, because the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Willpower will never become won't power. Then we ignore one of the steps. Paul also said to the Galatian church, you were doing so well. Who made you stop obeying the truth? I'll tell you who stopped, who made you stop or what made you stop. It was Satan. Peter would write, the adversary, the enemy, Satan, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You try to recover without support. I'm a one-man army. I don't want anyone to know. Those are the things that you tell yourself. My namesake, King Lemuel, would write in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there's no one to help him. And you hear in your grace groups and in Sunday school classes, and Jimmy talks about it, having an accountability partner. That's what Ecclesiastes is talking about. Two are better than one. You need to have someone to hold you accountable for your actions. And you might say, oh yes, well, my accountability partner is God. Well, he can be your accountability partner. But too often you're so busy doing other things that you don't hear him speak to you. An accountability partner is one of the greatest resources that you can ever have. We become prideful. Enough said about that. We just become prideful. Now we're into the meat of the subject today. How to prevent a relapse. A relapse can be defined as a falling back. Instead of doing the next right thing, you do the old wrong thing. Instead of doing things right, you fall back into those old harmful areas, behavioral patterns that you had. This could aptly be entitled, How to Prevent Getting Angry Again. How to prevent getting jealous or envious again. How to prevent quitting the diet that you're on. How to prevent gambling again. How to prevent cheating again. How to refrain from giving lustful looks to that attractive man or woman. Wow. First of all, you're going to have to reserve a time, a daily time with God for self-examination. Woo. Reserve a daily time for Bible reading and for prayer in order to know God and His will for your life and to gain the power to do it. There are some areas that I want to address with you. Here are some safeguards that would help you remain in recovery. First one is evaluation. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, check up on yourselves. The writer of Lamentations would say, let us examine ourselves and let us repent. Well, the question is, what do you want me to evaluate? First of all, the physical. You know, your body is a barometer. It tells you a multitude of things. It sends messages to you every moment. Do you have tense muscles? Guess what? You have stress. Are you hungry? Guess what? You have an empty stomach. Are you tired? Guess what? Not enough rest or exercise. The body tells you when things are out of line. My body has been telling me that for quite some time, and I finally went to the chiropractor the other day. And yeah, I had a lot of things out of line. Emotional. Evaluate the emotions that you have. What are my feelings telling me? Am I suppressing any of them? You know, God gave us feelings. And suppressing some of those could be as dangerous as a hot water heater overheating. And it continues to heat up. Our body is that way. Emotions fill us up. And on a hot water heater, you have a pressure release valve at the top that when the pressure builds up too much, it allows the pressure to escape to keep the hot water heater from blowing up. Friends, our emotions build up in us. God gives us these emotions. But we can't suppress them if not we blow up. Sometimes you have to do a heart check. And this is one of those H-E-A-R-T things. H is for hurting. Am I hurting? If I am, will I admit it? And also, will I do something about it? Will I deal with it? Why am I hurting? Will I deal with it? It took me several weeks to realize that I was really hurting physically and I needed to deal with it. E is for exhaustion or exhausted. Are you exhausted? Ask why. And if you are, the most important part of that is, will you deal with it? Are you angry? Ask why. And again, most importantly, will you deal with it? Are you resentful? Ask why. But most importantly, will you deal with that? Are you tense, anxious, fearful? Ask why. But again, most importantly, will you deal with that? Evaluate your relations? Am I at peace with everyone? For you know, conflict will hold you back in your recovery. It might be a friend, might be a family member that you have conflict with. I've heard people say, well, I haven't spoken to my sister in 28 years. Why? Is she dead? No, we just don't speak anymore. You see, we had this falling out. What was it over? Well, she said something. Things like that takes up an enormous amount of space in your mind. Don't let anything hang out up there. Get rid of it. Make peace. Spiritual. Are you relying on the Lord all the time or just part of the time or maybe some of the time? Or maybe when it just gets so difficult, you need to turn to Him. Spiritual. Are you relying upon the Lord? You know, we get so caught up in our failures that we so often don't look at our successes or our victories. My dad told me one time, Lem, in every bad man, there are some good. And in every good man, there are some bad. Always look for the good. Wisdom. And I've always tried to do that. But you know what? Doing that on a personal basis has been the most difficult thing in my life. Because we always look at our failures. Oh man, I shouldn't have said that. But guess what? How many times have you said the right thing? I shouldn't have done that, but how many times have you done the right thing? We get so caught up in our failures, we never look at the victories that we have. As a pastor, I've always looked at, I should have shared the plan of salvation with that man. Instead of looking at all the times I have shared the plan of salvation with someone. We need to make this spiritual evaluation personal. And we need to look at our successes more so than what our failures are. Paul wrote again, let each man test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Well, question might be, when do I do this evaluation? Rick Warren from the organization and the pastor that all these notes came from says it's like house cleaning. The evaluation can be compared to house cleaning. How many of you go through and you pick up everything out of the floor when you see it, or do you just walk on by? You see, spot check inventory, take a spot check inventory of your life today. You can pick it up, you can clean it up, you can redo it, you can ask forgiveness, you can confess at a moment. Or you might be one of those people that wait until the end of the day to make that inventory. And you confess those and you receive forgiveness. A daily review, a daily inventory. Or here's one that I don't know anybody gets one of these. An annual review. That's like going to the doctor. An annual review on your inventory. A sabbatical. I'm lucky to get 3 days off. But you can do it one day. Just devote one day to do a self-evaluation, to take an inventory of your successes. Meditation. A slowing down long enough to hear God. Ooh. I went upstairs this morning to kiss my wife goodbye and so I could come to church early and get all this wiring done. And she said, you need to slow down. How many of us slow down? It's hard to slow down. You got so much to get done today. Listen to what the psalmist writes. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's laws and thinking about ways to follow Him more closely. Meditate. We have difficulty with that, don't we? There was a time in my life when I said, I can't meditate. But guess what? If you worry, if you are worrying, that's meditating. If you can worry, you can meditate on God's word. Worry is nothing but these bad things coming into your mind and taking up that space in your mind. Take an inventory, get those things out, and let God's word come into your mind. Meditate on it. How does it apply to you? How does it apply to today? But listen to the second part of what the psalmist says. Those who meditate, they are like trees along a river that do not dry up. Now listen to this. I love this word. They succeed in everything they do. You want success in life? Meditate on God's word. It's a promise. And no one has ever been able to record a broken promise from God because there are no broken promises from God. You want success in your life? Meditate on His word. Third and final thing, prayer. Jesus told His disciples, this is how you pray. He did not say, this is what you pray. He says, this is how you pray. The model prayer. I'm going to read it for you. but this is from the Good News Bible. And it's going to be a little bit different than what you know it, or the words that you know. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs that we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done us. Do not bring us to temptation, but keep us safe from the evil one. I want to break this down just very quickly for you. Our Father. When we say that, we have to understand, accept in our heart and in our mind that we're not God. I could share with you time and time again, event in my life that was a disaster because I thought I was a God. Your will be done. Not my will. Not your will. God's will. And you have taken a giant spiritual step in your life when you can say, just as Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. When you come to a point in your life when you can say to God, not my will, not Lim's will, not Jim's will, not Darren's will, not our will, God, but your will be done. Now we're in perfect alignment with God. Give us this day simply learning to trust him every day. Every day is a new day to us. But there's never a new day to God. Because he's the same today as he was yesterday, and he's going to be the same tomorrow as he is today. Give us this day. Give us the food that we need. Give us the friends that we need. Give us the strength that we need. Give us the shelter that we need. Give us the comfort that we need. Give us the friends that we need. Give us this day. Learn to trust him this day. Forgive us. As we confess our sins, forgive us so that we might extend forgiveness to others. Do not bring us. I grew up praying, and don't lead me into temptation, but do not bring us. And you know what that is saying? That is saying that God's power is greater than the enemy's power. God's power is greater than the enemy. I'd ask you to stand right now. Would everyone stand? And I'm going to ask that we pray the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. It's not what we pray, it's how we pray. And you can speak it, you can pray it in the words that are so familiar to you, okay? Would you bow your head? Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs that we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done. Do not bring us to temptation, but keep us from the evil one. And before I say amen, do you remember that when you said, my Father, our Father, you were confessing that he is God, that you are not? When you said, your will be done, remember that you were asking his will to be done, but not your will? When you said, give us today, you're learning to trust him today. That would lead into trust for tomorrow. Forgive us, you're confessing your sins, and you're extending forgiveness to others. Do not bring us to temptation. You're confessing that God's power is greater than any other power. I would say amen. Would you remain seated, standing? I'm sorry. I do that in weddings also. I get all these things confused. But I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. It's been about relapse. We all experience relapse. Relapse is not relegated to alcoholics and drug addicts and gamblers. It's to every part of every life. Maybe today you've realized that there is a way to prevent relapse. If it's as simple as one of the things I had to do, I had to go to my cabinet in the kitchen and push all the little Debbies to the back. Now that's very simple and that's very easy to do. But you know, every time I go by that cabinet, I kind of look up. The other day I opened it to see if they were still there. You see, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Maybe today you realize that, hey, this might be a good church to be a member of, and we extend membership to you. One or more of our elders will be up front. If you want to join this church today, you can do that. You don't have to do that when Pastor Jimmy is here. You can do it today. maybe you're one of those people, an individual here today, that did a spiritual inventory when I was speaking. And you realize that there is something great and mighty missing in your life. Oh, you have wealth, or maybe you don't have wealth. Maybe you had health and you don't have health. Maybe you got money in your pocket and maybe you don't. But you've come to a time in your life today that you realize that there is something big missing out of your life. And you do believe that it's God. Let me tell you what. You can come this morning and someone here will tell you exactly how you can meet the Savior, Jesus Christ. April 2nd, 1971, I was sitting in the very back, Pine Castle First Baptist Church, right south of Orlando. I'd been on a drinking binge for over 3 years. I had lost everything that was dear to me. Everything that I owned was in the trunk of my car. Had it not been for my blessed mother and my old bedroom, I'd been sleeping in that car. I know where you are, and I know how to get away from that. And the only way is Jesus Christ. He will give you recovery. He will redeem you. He will forgive you. He will make you into a new creature. That's His promise and not mine. Would you this morning, as our praise team comes, would you this morning be honest? That's a difficult step, being honest. Because when you're honest with God, you're going to have to make some decisions, and that is stepping out. Not just at this church, not just down this aisle, but you're going to have to step out, and you're going to have to get away from those old people, old places, and old things. You're going to have to recommit your life, or maybe for the first time in your life, you're going to have to commit it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are your decisions. We pray, the leadership of this church and every member here, pray that you will make those decisions this morning. Will you do that now?